Good morning. This is a meeting of the Utilities and Environment Committee for Sylvania City Council. Today's date is August 5th, 2016. The time is 8 a.m. This meeting is to discuss the refuge and recycling contract for 2016 through 2021. With me this morning, myself, Jason Mishka, committee members Sandy Hussman, Mary Westfall. Mr. Frye on the committee is excused this morning. Doug Hainem, Mark Lutke are also present from council. Members of the administration include Leslie Brining, Kevin Aller, Mr. Joe Shaw, and Mayor Stow. The first item on the agenda today is the refuse and recycling contract. This was brought up at our last full council meeting, where Mr. Aller brought us a contract or draft contract and a fee schedule. There were some questions from that meeting, and we hoped to discuss that this morning and get some of those questions answered. And I'll turn it over to Mr. Aller to see if he can help us with that.
Thank you, Mr. Mishka. Some of the questions seem to be from the council meeting, seem to be, how does this compare? What do we have now? And that kind of, those kinds of questions. So I tried with the summary that you have in front of you to kind of spell that out. And the items that we're currently dealing with, I put in the bid amounts and then what we were paying in this past year, and then what that means on an annual basis. And on the refuse side, the refuse collection is increasing for 2016, September 1st. It'll increase from $6.60 to $6.80. If you have the majority, they're not large costs, but the larger increases were in the next two items there, as you can see. If you do have our program, limits you to three containers that you can set out. If you have more than that, then you pay an extra container fee, and you know that's increasing from $1 to $2.25. And then if you have a bulky item, like a couch, chair, an appliance, that's increasing from $7 to $12.50. But you can see that we don't have really a whole lot of those on a dollar basis. So they're not a big impact to anything. We typically have right around 600 extra bags or tags that we provide throughout the year, and then about 400 bulky items throughout the year. So the program does get used, but not a large impact to the budgets or anything. And then we have the next two items. Next two alternate items are our Fall Unlimited and Spring Unlimited collections. Those programs are currently costing approximately $25,000, and with these increases, that would go to just under $25,800. We did bid those as alternates, as to, it gave us the option whether or not to continue the programs. In our opinion, the tonnages would support continuing the program. They do get a lot of use, I think it would be something that people would miss if we didn't continue the program. So it would be our recommendation that we continue both of those events. The other items are alternates. Alternate 3 automatically comes into play. There's a fuel surcharge rate as part of the contract. So that automatically comes into play. That really varies. There are some years, obviously, where gas was $4, where we were paying a lot of extra money through the course of the year. But the past year and a half, probably, we've actually seen sizable credits think the monthly credit that we're getting right now, I believe, is in the neighborhood of $2,200 a month that we're giving as a fuel surcharge credit, because the gas prices are so low. So, and that's part of, regardless of what supplier or provider you were to use, that those come into play. The next two items were items that we took a look at to see if we wanted to, possibly make a conversion from where on the refuse side our customers, citizens are providing their own containers, either bags or garbage cans. And if we went to either a 95-gallon or a 65-gallon cart that was provided, just like we do on the recycling side. And you can see that that would be, roughly about a $2 increase per pickup per month, which, that equates to about $144,000 a year that would increase the cost of the program. So, those programs are not something at this time that I would promote. We don't get really any requests to provide those. Everybody's happy with what we have, it seems, and so the desire is not there, at least hasn't been expressed. And so to take on the additional expense is not something that we would recommend moving forward with. Then to go down to the
recycling program. Kevin, can you pause for just a minute right there?
Mm-hmm.
On the refuse, I'm not sure I completely understand how this is laid out here. For the alternate 4 and 5, those aren't additional charges for those things. That's the total bundled package if you use those, right?
If you use
Okay, because when I was reading this, I was thinking it was an additional $888 for that, which doesn't make sense. So can you walk us through how you arrived at the $10.34, which is what you wrote in the memo?
Yes, if you take the $6.80 in the top line, excuse me, and then go down to recycling with the biweekly collection,
okay,
$6.80 and $3.54 is where I came up with the $10.34.
Okay, because I thought that they were two different pieces. So let me maybe continue for a minute. So that's the $6.80 for the refuge. Is the bulky item a single, is that a program you need it if you call in and you can pay the $12.50 if you want to use that service?
Correct.
Right? So that's not necessarily billed to the resident. They would pay that if they need that.
Yeah, they come in, they get a bulky sticker, they pay $12. Well, in this case, they would pay $12.50.
Okay. And then the alternate 1 and 2, the fall and spring unlimited, is that a single billable item in the spring and the fall that shows up on the bill?
Yes, it shows up on our bill. It does not show up on the citizen bill if they pay that separate. That's an item that I calculate and include in the annual fee.
So that fits into the $6.80, right?
Correct.
Okay, it's in there. Okay, I thought it was in an additional $4.49, which wouldn't have made sense.
Well,
that's not quite right.
Yeah, no, it's each year, each November 1st, I review the cost of the solid waste and recycling program, and the service director does, so I review that, and then adjust that solid waste fee on an annual basis to cover all of those expenses.
Okay.
So the citizen won't see a separate $4.49 charge in the spring and fall. It's included in the fee that they'll pay.
And that current fee that's reflected on the utility bill is how much, Kevin, and what will go to?
It's roughly about $10.80, and that includes everything. I think we're at about $127 on an annual basis right now.
Okay, so that was a lot of my confusion, was how these items were added here.
Okay.
I thought that those were, it's $6.80 for a base, and then you add those on.
No.
And I couldn't figure out how you were getting to that. So if you could, go ahead.
I just want to make sure I understood this. So you're saying, Kevin, that this $10, $9.98 is already included in the $6.80, or it's an addition to the $6.80, and it's just aggregated over the whole year?
It's in addition.
That's
and so our customer doesn't, you know, they won't see a bill for $10.34 for garbage collection. I'll basically take the sum here that you see, $710,000, plus there's some administrative costs, some of our billing costs and things like that go into this number. And then I determine, from those costs, determine how many pickups we do on a monthly basis, and then divide that by each resident. Okay. And that's how I come up with the currently $127 per month. The fuel surcharge gets calculated into that. This past year, our fee actually dropped approximately $5 a month, and it's primarily because of that fuel surcharge, the credit that we get for that. So
that $127 was only paid by those that don't qualify for the waiver.
That's correct. Yes. Yes. Anybody that pays income tax, does not pay anything for the service, if you do not pay City of Sylvania income tax, then you pay the $127 that I mentioned.
Okay. So the individual items here, just so I can repeat it for my own sake, so you can make sure I understand it. You're figuring the cost from the quote that they're giving you per household. You find the total, and then you distribute that.
Correct.
Okay. And I didn't mean to interrupt you on the recycling. I just wanted to make sure I answered the questions. Thought it'd be easier, but if you want to continue, then.
Could have. The going down into the biweekly collection of the recycling, same thing. We're increasing from $2.94 to $3.54. That is a larger increase on the recycling side, and we anticipated this. The commodities market is a huge factor in the recycling world, and the companies just aren't getting the dollars at the end of the process anymore. And so, obviously, they're processing, their collection and processing costs are still the same, but there's no reward, if you will, at the end, because there's just no market for those commodities right now. So we did anticipate those costs to increase. And, you know, as you can see, you know, that increase is approximately $41,000 in that program. And that's the majority of the increase in this operation. So that's where it's at. Our annual increase is, you know, in the neighborhood of $60,000 that we're seeing here. We obviously will plan accordingly. We'll take that into account. Our fees are kind of a reactive basis in that even though I know these are what our costs are going to be for the following year, the way the code is written, I do exactly what I indicated earlier. I take what the expenses have been for the past 12 months and then adjust the fees on an annual basis according to that. So the additional cost that I'll pay for these, people actually won't actually see those until 2018, the way our system is set up. So in November, I'll take a look at the operating costs from October of 2015 through September 2016. And that's what I'll use to make an adjustment for 2017. So we're a little reactive in that sense rather than ahead of the curve. But the costs that have been proposed are in line. Maumee had negotiated a contract maybe 2 weeks before we received our bids. And I think their costs are like 10 cents a month more. They also have to bear going through the process of purchasing both garbage and recycling toters, which is an expense that we don't have to go through. So I think they're, you know, if you take a look at what the City of Toledo is paying for their program and then what Maumee has, you know, I still believe that we're getting a good service for a good price, based on what others are paying, so. There are annual increases, naturally built into these. The index that we have decided to go with is the Bureau of Labor Standards website. They have a garbage and trash collection index. Last year, that index was 1.6 percent. It can always vary, obviously. And we did put a cap on those increases that over a two-year period, the average increase can't be more than 3%. So let's say the index indicated it was 1.5. Let's say next year it's 4.5. We're still within that two-year average of 3%, so we're okay. But if, you know, if let's say that index 1 year is 2.5 and the next year it's 5.5, the increase in that section year will be capped. So it protects our rates a little bit, but still protects the contractor in that they're able to cover rising costs of operation. So.
Kevin, I take it we have not heard a lot of clamoring for weekly recycling, is that right?
We have not.
Okay.
No, we have a handful of residences that have two recycling containers, typically larger families that do a lot of recycling, and I would say we have about a handful of those. And we provide it. They call and ask. We provide the container. It's not something. We do take a look at their volume. We want to make sure it's warranted, rather than they just want another container for some reason. We handle those special circumstances. So.
And we don't charge them for the extra container?
No.
Well, that's a nice neighborhood thing.
We are the city of Sylvania.
Kevin, if I could just add a comment, I just to get it on the record, I guess, I'm happy to see that we're not necessarily looking at the 65 and 95-gallon carts for refuse. Interestingly, two of my neighbors were aware of this. Both of them are, I call them elderly, empty nesters, of course, and they are concerned. Say again? I was going to say older, Doug, but then I figured that was self-incriminating, you know? But they're concerned about the size of even the smaller container, because I think they're equating that the 65 is similar to the 65 that we have for recycling. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, and they don't use it, right? They maybe produce one bag of garbage a week, and the little old lady next door, who is 90, just is afraid, you know, that that's just too much for her to handle. So I don't, well, maybe, you know, my sense is that maybe the carts are solving a problem that we don't have in Sylvania. So I'm just for future negotiations and so on, I would
sure.
You know, hope you'd factor that in.
Yeah. I think it was a good move on the recycling side, because we did have the problem of the recycling material flowing all over the neighborhoods. We don't have that on the garbage side, and like you said, we don't have a lot of people clamoring for it. So I think it's not something that I would recommend at this point.
Yeah. Kim, do you have any idea why Waste Management didn't bid on this?
No. You know, they did submit a letter indicating that they. And the letter basically indicated that they just didn't feel that they had enough time to properly prepare, if you will. They had 3.5 weeks. That's pretty standard in the bidding world. It's actually a little longer than that standard in the bidding world. But, you know, that's about all they indicated in the bid. They never, you know, through the whole time, they never called and asked questions. They never asked, hey, any thought of possibly delaying the bid to give them more time or anything like that. I never had any conversations with them through the bidding process.
Are they working in other suburban areas than West Ohio?
The only community that I'm aware that they had been working with on a community-wide basis, and I'm not sure if they even still are, Mr. Hanum, is Oregon and Jerusalem Township. They used to have that contract, and I don't know what they still do. But that's the only one that I'm aware of right now. It's most Northwest Ohio Communities Armored Public Services.
Well, I guess, I know there's been some antitrust inquiry about Allied and Waste Management activities. I don't know a lot about those. It just seems odd to me that there's not some interest in at least bidding on this.
Yeah, the one thing in that world that, you know, I'll make no comment on that on the antitrust thing, but the one thing in the garbage collection world, if you will, is one thing that makes it very easy is if you have a landfill in the area. Mm-hmm. And so these types of services tend to become territorial only because he who owns the landfill owns the market, if you will. And so that's, you know, Republic has their facility in the Michigan, I believe the name has escaped me, you know, they have the operation into Michigan, so it puts them in a pretty good position around here. Waste Management does have their operation, in the Northwood area, so, yeah. You know, I would think that they would try to come into this market, but they just haven't been very successful, so. Yeah, if you go down to Southwest Ohio, it's all, you know, Rumpke and those types of businesses because they have the landfills. Mm-hmm. And, so it does become quite territorial.
One more question, Kevin, just to make sure my math is right. If we look at the 1034 and the 954 for the previous year, that's an 8. Did I do that right? Hold on a minute. An 80-cent increase, which goes to $9.06 per year. Does that sound right? Annually?
Yes.
Okay. And then you're figuring to get to your $60,000 that you have for your annual cost, roughly 6,250 households. That's kind of where you're at
right.
With that, right?
And okay. That will, these costs will fluctuate a little bit because one thing that we do, you typically do at the end of a contract, is we will send either a ride-along or a trail car and count the houses.
Right.
Just to get an accurate count.
Okay.
Because it's, and then we'll use that count throughout the course of the contract. Because right now, according to our utility billings and the number that's used in our contract, we're off by probably a couple hundred. So,
okay.
And actually, it'll increase. Our utility billing count is higher than what we're using 5,741 homes.
We're currently using
5,741 homes. And that was a number that was established 6 years ago when the contract was put into place there. So we'll do like I said, either a ride along or a trail car and come to an agreed number with the contractor.
And the data that the utility that they're collecting from the RFID, the radio frequency ID tags, mm-hmm. on the containers, do you have access to that data, mm-hmm. to tell how many, or are they just holding that to themselves?
We get, we get it on a quarterly basis.
Okay.
We get, I actually don't get number pickups. I can get number pickups.
But if you needed to get data from them, you could request
it. I could get that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for our reports and stuff, I'm more interested in the tonnages and that kind of stuff. But, yeah. Now, the problem is on the recycling side, typically you won't use those numbers because even though we're every other week, not everybody.
Right.
Recycles. They
take true.
Their stuff to places. So
right.
That's not where you typically serve every household with garbage. You may not serve every household with recycling.
Because there's no place to take your garbage, really.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, even though we pick it up right at the curb, we still have citizens that take their material over to Kroger on a, you know, every other day basis or whatever.
More on an overflow basis, then.
Probably.
Yeah, particularly the boxes.
Yeah, boxes are a problem.
So what was the number of homes you're projecting? projecting we pick up for now?
We'll probably be at just over 6,000, is our, going by our utility billings. And I frankly, I don't know how, you know, it's not like we've built 300 homes in the last 6 years in Sylvania, so I don't know how that occurred, but.
Annexations?
Hmm?
Annexations?
Not, none in the last 6 years, yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's an anomaly.
That was 2009.
And we will have it, if you go past, you know, if we go past the house, it's abandoned home, when you do that count, abandoned homes don't get included in the count. I don't know how the market became that way, because, you know, at some point, hopefully, that house isn't gonna be abandoned forever. But they don't get included in the count, but we, you know, typically, we have, you know, 20-25 abandoned homes at any one time, so.
Abandoned meaning for sale, not abandoned, right?
Not occupied.
Correct, right, correct.
No, yeah.
We have a few abandoned.
Yes, we do.
I know, but not.
Yeah.
I have no other questions.
Yeah, well, I think.
Regarding that.
Yeah, it looks to me like this is a good effort. It is what it is. It sounds competitive and reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've heard about what folks in township are paying, this is another good reason to live in the city of Sylvania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm paying Springfield Township, I'm paying more than twice these numbers, almost three times these numbers.
So, you're looking for a motion to advance legislation to the council?
Yeah, we had the legislation advanced, but we can do that again, and then we'll have it in our next meeting.
Recommend that we take action.
That we act on.
Yeah, so is there a motion?
Motion.
Okay.
Second.
The motion was, there was a motion that was seconded, so we'll advance that to our next meeting, which is, when's our next? August 18th.
August 18th?
August, no, it's not. It's August 15th. August 15th.
The second item on our agenda this morning is to discuss and review the information that we received from the City of Sylvania Water Study. This was discussed briefly at our last council meeting as well, and we referred it to this committee for further discussion. I know that Mr. Fry had a number of questions that he had sent to Mr. Aller to be addressed. Mr. Fry's not here this morning, but it looks like there are responses to those, and once again, I'll turn it over to Kevin to discuss this.
I would like at this point to turn it over to our consultant, Mr. Mishka, and have them answer any questions or clarify anything that might be specific to the report, and if there are any questions as to, you know, from this point on, type questions or that kind of stuff, then I'll come back.
Okay.
I'll turn it over to Brian Phillips with Fishbeck, Thompson, Carr, and Huber, commonly referred to as FTCNH by us. You know, he'll kind of run through Mr. Fry's questions. If there are any questions that you specifically would like, you know, clarification, there were several questions, so I don't want to, you know, Brian understands that we don't want to look here just reading through all the questions. If there are any questions that you specifically had some other clarifications or something like that, you know, we'll try to concentrate on those and get you the information that you're actually looking for. So, all yours, sir.
Thanks again for having me back. Hopefully the memo that we put together helped address some of these additional questions. I appreciate your guys' interest in the study. We oftentimes don't get that thorough of evaluation from it, so it's nice to know that all that effort read and digested, so. But like Kevin said, we went through and both, we're sometimes called fishback too. Sometimes they like to make fun of us and call us fish breath, but I prefer fishback. But we worked with UFS, our financial analyst, as well on these questions over the last week and tried to pull together some answers for you. I'd be happy to go through and expound on anything that you didn't feel that was adequately answered. I don't know how detailed you want to get here. I'm here for as long as you want me and dig into it.
Brian, I do have a question. If we could start there. First of all, thank you for coming down today. The response is prepared by whomever, you and Mr. Aller, perhaps collectively, were really very helpful. And bravo for Mr. Fry to dig through and come up with all these great questions. But let me ask you that toward the end of the report, when you're talking about the water softening side of this, you indicate that an additional treatment study may need to be performed to kind of address treatment recommendations regarding softening. So the question that entered my mind is that study included in the projections that are being made with regard to the cost per water? And are there any other studies that will need to be to be launched in order to complete the, you know, the water treatment facilities? Mm-hmm. Are there any other costs is what I'm really trying to figure out that weren't included?
So to kind of break it down, we looked at the three scenarios of the Sylvania loan and the Independent Regional Partnership and then the supplemental to Toledo. So our assumption in the study was in the Sylvania loan and the Independent Regional Partnership, you would go off on your own. And you would have emergency interconnects with Toledo, but you wouldn't normally blend those two source waters. And our view is that the softness of Lake Erie is at an average of 120 milligrams per liter. And that is oftentimes a target that most communities try to meet. Most will come out at 120 to 140 if it's a groundwater system. So you're already at where most people try to get. So, and Toledo has, for various reasons, softened below what sort of the average is, right? I believe ties back to the glass industry and whatnot. So when we looked at it sort of as an independent view, we're like, well, why do we spend all this money for those two options? And our feeling is you don't. But then the third scenario we looked at, the supplemental to Toledo, where you have redundant plants when you're constantly mixing those two. We felt like that was prudent to assume the softening would be provided. So to go back to your cost question, on the cost, like the water rates that we established, the recommended rate increases and whatnot, softening is not included in the study for the first two, but it is included in the supplemental to Toledo cost estimate. We didn't establish a rate structure for the supplemental, but we did give you a cost estimate that included lime and soda ash softening. But with that said, I did, what we did for response to that question 25, so there's various ways that you can provide soft water. Historically, most municipality grade or size facilities use lime and soda ash softening, where you add a bunch of lime, raise the pH up, and drop all the hardness out. But a lot of those were built back before reverse osmosis was sort of developed. And lime softening is a very messy process. Most of the times you walk in, there's just lime everywhere. Like, people are throwing buckets up on the ceiling type of thing. So it's because you got this lime, sticky, slimy slurry. But then you look at our RO facility and you just have these membrane skids in there. It's a nice, clean facility. It's easier to operate in an automated fashion. So there's trade-offs, though, because you have to pump into those skids versus you have to deal with all that mess of lime softening. So long story short, if you wanted to add softening to the other options, we would take a hard look at RO, reverse osmosis, and we feel like for the Independent Regional Partnership, based on prior softening projects that we've done, you're in that $8 to $10 million for that additional, the membrane skids, the feed pumps, the additional chemical feed systems to clean the membranes. So that would be on top of what we said for the independent regional partnership. And then it is a little bit cost intensive because you have to raise the pressure up to like 125 PSI to force it through the membranes. So you're going to have those energy costs and chemical costs. So you're adding $350,000 to $400,000 a year in O&M costs if you add limes, or if you add reverse osmosis softening. So you can provide it, and it's technically very feasible, but I think if this went forward, you'd want to take a hard look at, are we really going to have that much of a negative impact to absorb those capital and O&M costs? Mm-hmm. Does that offset it? So.
Okay. That was helpful. Thank you. Another question. You know, certainly all three scenarios were well presented, and I think the feeling, certainly from my viewpoint, I don't speak on behalf of council, is that the regional water seems to be the most logical option. But in the report, in response to the questions you talk about, the one where we would hook up to the southeastern counties of Michigan, and that there has not been any kind of dialogue with them. It may have said it in here or in the water study, but just for clarification in my mind, where do they get their water from right now? From the city of Toledo?
Yeah, they get it from the city of Toledo. They're a group of four different sort of townships in one city, and they're called South County Water System, and they buy water from the city of Toledo. They have a contract, South County Water does, with the city of Toledo for purchase of potable water. So, but their contract has language in it that didn't allow them to participate in this study without risk of penalties.
That's
so we consciously made an effort to not involve them in any manner.
Them.
Any information was obtained through FOIA.
Okay.
But I think, like you said, this is going to be a big infrastructure project if it would move forward. And to try to absorb all those costs on your own just really isn't practical. You're just not that big yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes more feasible to incorporate them into that regional partnership so you have more people to spread those costs out over.
Mm-hmm. So if there were restrictions on that South County Water option or for you to gather information, when does their contract end? Are they on the same schedule as we are?
They are 4 years earlier than you, I think, 2024. And you guys are July of 2028.
Okay.
Okay, we have some users in the city of Sylvania who build and managed by the city of Toledo. Would they be included in this system?
They would not have been included in our flow records and flow calculations because they currently get their water through the Lucas County water system. And this study did not project any service area modifications or anything of that nature. That's certainly something that can be looked at to try to get City of Sylvania residents on the City of Sylvania water system. But it was not part of this study.
It's kind of a fine detail, but if you look in the figures and the demand projections and whatnot, we don't say City of Sylvania, we say Sylvania service area.
I understand.
So that
that's why I asked the question.
Yeah.
So how many of our residents is that in?
It's a relatively small number. I'm not sure.
Is it just the folks over there by Kroger?
Yeah, that's primarily the area. Yeah, we do have a small area over along Sylvania Avenue. That's probably only maybe a couple hundred people.
Sylvania where?
In the Stonehenge area.
Oh.
Okay. That area there. It's just a real small. It's an anomaly in the service area. I don't know how it came to be, but just a few people there, and then primarily that area over by Kroger, that residential area there. Yeah.
Okay, so the water tower that's at, that is on assume that's a distribution point, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the travel distance from those two water towers, between our water tower and their water tower, is not very significant. Why would the folks that are served by that water tower, we didn't consider including them because they're part of the Lucas County system? Is there a structural reason we couldn't?
There are some structural, there are some infrastructure reasons, you know, the water lines and that would have to be reconfigured and connected. You know, right now they're not connected to our distribution system. They're connected to Lucas County's distribution system. So there would have to be some interconnections made and things like that.
The tower south of the 2 million?
Yeah.
I know that. The one in Lucas County, your new 2 million gallon elevated storage tank, the tower south of that, from what I had gathered, operates at a higher level than your tower.
What do you mean by that?
Where it's like there's this hydraulic grade line that's established that all the tanks ride on.
Right.
And their tower is a little higher than yours. So you guys maintain your towers with your pumping station. So you would have to also look at how does that impact all the pressures if you tried to grab some of those and then everybody that was served by that would then have a little bit less pressure in their house, and does that create any problems? So there would need to be some further studies on how the system looks and how the pressures would be at all different.
Okay, that's part of the connection.
How to explain this to people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and if you think of a bicycle on a spoke, and each of the spokes is a water line. We got water lines coming out from the city of Toledo to serve our system, a separate spoke serving Lucas County. Is that
simplistically? Yes, that's a explanation.
I'm not a very complicated guy, so if it isn't simple, I don't get it.
Yeah, we are fed from a water line that comes. Runs all the way from Heather Downs, mm-hmm. and Boulevard, and comes up Holland Sylvania Road all the way to our pumping station at Brent Road.
Okay.
That line at Sylvania Avenue, Lucas County has a pumping station that they feed off of that line in Holland Sylvania,
mm-hmm.
and that's where they pump water into their system. And then it continues up Holland Sylvania and dumps into our system at Brent Road. Those two systems, we go from Brent Road and then we go out to our system. Lucas County goes from their pumping station at Pennsylvania and Sylvania and pumps out into their system. There are a couple of minor connections between the two systems so that we can get water in an emergency and vice versa to Lucas County. They're not big enough that we would be able to on a daily basis feed the systems. So what we have to do is we have to interconnect those two systems at some point along Sylvania Avenue is the obvious location, and to be able to either us provide service to Sylvania Township area on a consistent basis or vice versa. But there, as he mentioned, there are a lot of things that go to those interconnections I talked. It's not as simple as just hooking up two spokes.
Okay.
There are some pressure issues that have to be resolved and things like that. So
the Lucas County system serves predominantly Sylvania Township?
Predominantly from that pumping station,
yeah.
Yes, primarily Sylvania Township. Yeah. And then they also have another pumping station down by the Turnpike and Holloway Road that serves the southwestern portion of the county. They have a southwest service area and a northwest service area.
So if there was growth in the Sylvania Township area, and...
Is there a map?
In figure one, I mean, it's 11 by 17, so it's a little scaled out.
Just after page 5.
But what I tried to do on that figure was show everyone the different breakup of the communities. So each one of these colors represents their own little service district that may have its own pressures that it operates at. So So you can't just, like Kevin just said, run a pipe between the two different watch colors, because one might be operating at 70 PSI and one might be at 65. So you drain the 70 all down to the 65 and overflow their tank. So you, it's not as simple as expanding that way. You need to look at how does that impact the pressures and fire and whatnot to those customers that you would absorb.
Okay, well, looking at figure one, you got a big green blob that runs through Sylvania Township all the way down into Springfield Township. Is that one service area?
Yes. That's the, there's some little annotation pull-offs and they're the same color as the green blob. That's called the Northwest Service Area, is the green color there.
And that, but that includes all of Springfield Township?
Not all of Springfield Township, no.
Oh, I see, no.
Part.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, the southern part of Springfield Township is served in that light blue.
In that light blue.
Yeah, the southwest.
Yeah.
So if there was growth in those areas, new developments and such, is it assumed that those would be connected to the Northwest Service Area, or can it be built back into the Sylvania Service Area? Because that's a, because, you know, we're talking about sizing the plant for growth. Are we, do we have to consider that, or is it not feasible to connect those back?
Feasible, it's feasible to do so. But it would require, it's not included in either scenarios one or two, just because the thought is that Lucas County would, whether or not they would separate their system from the city's legal system or not would be the question. And that's going to be a tough pull for them, because we would not be able to, I don't think feasibly, we would be able to provide their southwest service area with service. That's becoming, it was beyond the scope of this study, but that becomes very difficult to do, just because those connections and distribution factors that we talked about is going to be, it's going to add significant costs and operation factors. So
the southwest service area is that light blue area.
Is a light
blue area. Clover Township.
Correct. So now that puts them in a situation where they're going to disconnect their northwest service area and serve the south, try to serve the southwest area with good cooperation from the city of Toledo. That's just not going to happen. They're going to keep their whole system with, you know, one provider. So I think it's feasible to serve that area, but I don't think it's very likely.
So the reason I asked is because the 150% growth that you're having built into the plant isn't necessarily for building growth out in that direction.
No, the idea wasn't necessarily that you would move south. There may be some south movement of your service area, but I think there's a limit where it becomes impractical. As I said, we haven't had direct conversations with South County Water, but just looking at the aerial views of that, particularly like in the Bedford Township label, kind of in the middle of that square, just north of that, there's a fair amount of relatively dense residential population there that is not currently served. And the most likely route that we had indicated for the transmission mains to bring the water down to you guys would be cutting through some of those areas that currently are not served. We did not include any expansion of their service area. So if anybody did connect in, it would obviously help reduce your cost. But I think the most likely area for growth is probably up in Michigan. I know Whiteford Township is struggling right now as well with some water issues. So you guys are pretty much built out, I would say, relative to how their distribution system.
So is it fair to say that there would be significant and disproportionate costs associated with adding in the Northwest Service Area?
Yes. Yeah. It would be, you know, to be able to take in that whole area, you're now trying to you know, they have, the Lucas County system has some existing 16 and 20 inch pipes that they're able to distribute water from their city of Toledo supplies. Those pipes essentially become invaluable or worthless, if you will, if you're trying to feed it from a completely different direction. So it you really are changing the dynamics of the whole service area. And so those large lines would have to be replaced somewhere in the system. And it really becomes extremely difficult and high cost to try to accomplish that. Now, what I could see happening is, depending on how the county, you know, some concerns that the county has, not some concerns, issues or whatever you want to call them, in their service areas, I could see them saying, you know what, we're any interest in serving, taking the area to the west of the city of Sylvania, and say, any interest in serving that area, and then they can concentrate their northwest service area in the remaining portions. So there are some things like that can happen, but
okay, well,
they're speculative. So
I'm not sure if I followed that. Are you saying it's more feasible to service the northern portion of the northwest service area?
Yeah.
Than the southern part? Is it Sylvania, Springfield Township split? Is that a reasonable? I see red lines and blue lines on this map. I don't understand.
I think from an easy standpoint, I think Brent Road North is.
Okay.
It's feasible to do without much infrastructure improvement being needed.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to take in all of Sylvania Township, even to be able to serve down the Central Avenue, is that you're starting to mess with the system dynamics. So, yeah.
And just to explain the colors, I know there's a lot going on here, but what I tried to do was show the service areas, and then there's a legend over on the left side of the water main sizes.
Yep.
So you can kind of follow where the Collins Park water plant's at and look at the larger size transmission mains and watch them, how they kind of progressively get smaller as they go out in the system, and you can wrap your head around how the water is being distributed now. And that gets into what Kevin was saying, how the system's now, it's very efficiently designed to get water out to those communities from Collins Park, and it wouldn't be if we tried to bring it from the north.
And I just want to make sure we say it's not easy, but it's not impossible. I mean, it is possible to be able to serve those areas, but it just wasn't looked at as part of the study.
The more militant time.
Yes.
It was envisioned that a separate system could build a major water main down Holland, Sylvania, or down McCord Road, and literally cut off the city of Toledo all the way down to Maumee and serve everything to the west. That, from an engineering standpoint, is not easily accomplished. It's expensive, and it wasn't worth studying because the county commissioners told me that would never happen. I have a variety of reasons why that has been pumped into me by two separate county commissioners. Not worth our dollars in Pennsylvania to pursue that option on a militant standpoint of view.
You know, with that said, Jason and Kevin, I wonder if we could take a few minutes to help me put this all into context of other conversations that have taken place, and maybe I'm going to call upon the mayor to help me, unless you're not prepared, but I know you are. We keep reading about the true regional water system would be one where the suburbs would essentially create an entity that could purchase the entire Toledo water system. And I guess what I understand as a layman is that is the most efficient way to help produce the infrastructure, improve the infrastructure, and deliver water. If that's not true, help me understand how this fits into sort of the other discussions the team of CAG and other groups are having.
There is that possible scenario that a regional water authority
of the city of Toledo and all the suburbs, the 500,000 people would form one water service company that would provide both bulk water treatment and distribution within those, to all those 500,000 customers. That is not what's being contemplated at the moment. That's a bridge way too far.
And you're saying that's not being contemplated by anybody?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Certainly not in the more in-depth conversations underway right now.
Okay.
What is being contemplated right now is a regional bulk water only system where the city of Toledo's plant would remain owned and operated by the city of Toledo, and bulk water would be purchased from it at a fair price, the same price, by everyone, including city of Toledo customers and all the suburbs. Buy it at the same price, but Toledo would operate that plant. A second plant would be purchased to solve the safety, or be built to solve the safety issue of redundancy, probably using the model that's number three in the Sylvania study that would tie into the city of Toledo system somewhere around Dixie Highway and supplement that system. Both water plants would run every day. They would sell water at the same price. The price would be calculated based on the operating costs of those two plants. One by the city of Toledo's plant, which produces far more water, one by this new regional plant. And everybody would receive water at the same bulk water price as everybody else. The stumbling point for that is water rates will go up in the city of Toledo and may stay about the same in most of the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
There are other complicating issues that are difficult to overcome. The city of Toledo made it very clear to me and to a group that I've assigned Kevin to attend regularly that it would take a vote of the Toledo public to sell their plant, or even to lease their plant. However, to sign a contract to sell water out of it is feasible.
Mayor, how does that, again, something that I've read and heard is that in the long term, the Toledo water plant needs substantial infrastructure improvements. Is
actually,
that true?
Making those.
Okay, and that's being paid for?
The last 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
Even 2 years ago when I toured the plant with Craig Butler from the Ohio EPA, I was impressed with all of the modernizations and safeguards that have been in place. What is really on the bubble right now is a 40 million gallon per day expansion of the Collins Park water plant, or whether that 40 MGD should be built someplace else to provide safety and resilience.
And that's what you were referring to earlier, is a second intake.
Correct.
All right.
There are two issues from my perspective that need to be solved with water. Number one is safety. Safety so that we don't have a shutdown in the system like we did 2 years ago. One water intake, one low-pressure pumping station, one treatment plant, and one high-pressure pumping systems are all subject to mechanical breakdowns, algae infestations at the intake point, or terrorism. And none of those are acceptable to have 500,000 people start drinking bottled water like happened 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, safety means redundancy. Build another plant. And also provide the interconnections with Bowling Green system and with Oregon system and with a likely Wood County system so that if anybody's system goes down, they can open up a valve and serve it. Oregon's done that twice. Their system has gone down and they have a small connection to Toledo, but they could open that pipe and supply water to their customers from the city of Toledo. Obviously, the elephant in there is if Toledo goes down, as it did 2 years ago, could all of these surrounding plants, a new Sylvania-based plant or South County-based plant, an expanded Bowling Green or Wood County plant and an Oregon plant, maybe get all the way over to Carroll Township and Port Clinton? That connection's not there, but could be made. Can those pump enough water into Toledo? And as of 2 days ago, when I sat down with Mayor Paula Hicks Hudson and some of her technical people, the answer was yes, we can make that work. But those studies are underway right now.
Okay, so as an elected official then, when I hear conversations about this quote-unquote regional water authority, I should be skeptical about that.
No, it is a regional bulk water authority.
Okay.
A real regional water system would mean that we just ban Sylvania's service department. We stop reading the meters and sending out the bills. And Toledo would do the same, and Maumee would do the same. That's not under discussion at all.
Okay.
And that's trying to find the middle ground, both for Toledo and for the suburbs, that is palatable and doable. Nobody was, especially us, we're not willing to close down our service department and rely on service people from someplace else to take over. That's just maybe in 20, 30 years. But right now we're talking about a regional bulk water authority.
Okay.
Mayor, is that a fair way to say it, Kevin?
Yes.
It is one of the reasons for that, because that introduces a whole bunch of other complications in the system. For example, if that were the case and there's a whole bunch of leaks or loss within in Toledo's system, for example, then who's accountable for
actually
repairing that, right?
That's very insightful. That right now Toledo's trying to figure out a way to have the suburbs pay to upgrade its water system, its water distribution system on every street in Toledo. And I, along with a couple other mayors, have just said, no, we're not going to calculate that into these prices.
Right.
We didn't build your system, you didn't build ours, and we are not going to commit the suburbs to not only rebuild Collins Park Water Plant, but also to rebuild every water main in the city of Toledo. We're not going to do that.
Right.
And if that's part of the calculation, we're going to build our regional water system that's limited out here with South County Water System.
Right.
We are both, all of us, all of the suburbs and Toledo are being honest with one another and putting on the table the wants and desires, and perhaps we'll find middle ground. Hopefully we'll all play like adults and find something that benefits all of us and find a way to get along. But, and the atmosphere is correct, but the challenges are just overwhelming to get there. I have a committee through Team ACOG of all the mayors and some county commissioners, and we are working together, and Kevin is an integral part of the subcommittee that's beating out the hard work to find the proposals we can bring back to Sylvania City Council, to Maumee, to Toledo, to Bowling Green, to everybody, and sell it to you that it makes sense for our local residents. And we made the decision a couple years ago, having a true regional water system with one billing entity just won't work. Just can't get it. So I'm glad that came up and you have an understanding. We're talking about a bulk water regional system.
And that's a helpful distinction. And can we assume then
that as Sylvania's participation in the discussions moves forward, that the lead that we look to is Team ACOG? Is that the entity that's driving this at this point?
It is housing the discussions.
Yeah.
They have no authority.
No, I understand that. But
they are housing discussions. There's a regional water planning committee at Team ACOG that's going to meet again on August 23rd and is waiting for a report that's coming back from the committee that Kevin's on with the county sanitary engineer, the city utility director, utility director from Bowling Green, one from Wood County's Economic Development Committee, and they are trying to get all these different issues on the table so that we're not surprised. And some new issues came up Monday when I met with Mayor Paula Hicks Hudson that I didn't anticipate that we are going to try to put into the formula. And I can tell you what those are. Toledo has a declining bulk rate system. More water you buy, the less it costs. And Sylvania's contract, and all the suburbs, are stuck at the top block rate. We pay the most for water. It's like for one house. But their big commercial customers, industry, buys it at the much lower cost. And if they made it, and it's true, if they don't continue some sort of a discount for big users, big industry, that industry's not going to want to come here anymore. They might want to move away. ProMedica is lobbying. Nonprofit ProMedica is lobbying for a bulk water rate. Why should they pay so much more in Sylvania than they're paying at Toledo Hospital? So
how much is what's the differential?
I'm not sure I know that, but it's several times.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but it is a substantial discount.
50%?
Oh, more than that.
And you presented that
So 25% of the... We pay a premium, right? And
we pay the highest block rate plus a surcharge of 70%.
Right. And so industrial users are paying a lower block rate.
That's correct. They're paying much less per cubic.
And the block rate they're paying is 50% of ours, 25% of ours?
No, it's much less than that. Okay, but they're not paying a surcharge on it then.
Yeah, they're not paying a surcharge.
Which is a 70% surcharge on top of it.
It's probably about 50%.
And my point back at Toledo was that if we're going to have quantity discounts for large users in Toledo, we're going to reflect them throughout the system. Everybody's going to get the same benefit. Mayor Paul Hicks Hudson put on the table that they want to have a lower rate for economically disadvantaged people in Toledo. I said, that's correct, but we're going to have it anywhere inside the system. It's not going to just benefit Toledo residents. We're going to get off of this mindset that the benefits only go to Toledo and the costs all go to the suburbs. Because by 2032 or 2034, we can build a system with South County Water District and close the valve in Toledo. And that's the incentive for them not to do it. And actually, your comments about why can't we include Sylvania Township and some of Springfield Township, that is the threat. That does need to happen. And the threat is coming up from the south, from Bowling Green, and from Wood County. Their water bill is already building a pipe under the river. They may get served from the south rather than from the north. Toledo is very much aware that their system is at risk.
So, Mayor, you just cited some dates, points in time. If we were to decide, we meaning the suburban communities, were to decide next year that going it alone is the most prudent approach, what is the actual time frame for turning the spigot off? You said 2035. Does it really take 15 years to do this? Yeah, but the construction phase and all of the
years, 7-8 years.
I mean it all depends on how.
That was 4 to 6.
I said in the memo 4 to 6 years. Four would be aggressive, and you would have to have multiple contracts, all at the same time.
And thus more expensive.
Yeah, I mean money would accelerate it, but it's not the most efficient way to do it. You would normally, on these larger projects, have multiple phases spread out over multiple years. So you're probably closer to the 6 years from the time you say go to the time you're serving water.
Okay, so
for economic reasons or for construction reasons?
It's just going to take some time. I mean, it's probably 2 years of effort, two summer seasons to get the full intake in out in Lake Erie. And to build a water plant is probably at least a 3-year effort to do that as well. So, and then all the transmission mains, those would all have to be let at the same time. So there would be a lot of balls in the air at the same time.
There is no simple date. What is the point of no return? I've been staying up nights trying to decide what that is. Is there one step that we're going to take when we can't turn back?
Right.
I don't know when that is.
Right.
It's not yet. It's not for a couple of years, I don't
think. Yeah, and I think you're probably referring, though, to political issues, right, and negotiate. Yeah, yeah.
Incurring expenses and encumbrances that we cannot turn back on.
Yeah, and I understand that completely. But I guess what I'm trying to calculate is, once we do that, how long is it going to take? And what I'm hearing these gentlemen saying is it's 6 years, give or take, probably six or a little bit more.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand that.
And what I thought I heard before is that when you say go, you start your rate increases then, right?
Right. I
mean, that's what we were told.
The first thing would be the engineering cost and the study and piloting and whatnot. And then, there'd be at least a year, if not more, of that. And then you would start to have construction of likely the intake first and then the transmission mains and water plant.
Okay. Mayor, you had a... I recall that you had a diagram before that showed...
Right here, it's on page 68.
Yeah, but I remember you had another one that you presented at the Flower Hospital. It was a spoke diagram that showed the rates inside Toledo and the rates outside.
That's called the aquatose. Yes.
Is that something that we could, Kevin, do you have that? We could send that back out, because I think that might answer some of the questions that Doug had.
It's not in the book.
No.
The aquatose just shows all the varying rates
that people pay in the suburbs for Toledo water.
Yeah.
And then it also reflects their internal charges. Sylvania adds on our distribution and billing charges to it. Everybody else does too. And it gives you all the figures. That's been updated since you've seen it. And it doesn't even reflect the whole picture because there are jet agreements between Toledo and other suburbs. City of Albany pays 500, I just wrote the numbers down a few days ago, $560,000, does that sound right, Kevin? For jet agreements. It's not part of their water contract, but to have access to the water, they pay for the, of course, the income taxes in that jet region. Fine Clover Township pays another $350,000. City of Sylvania paid about $11,000 last year from the Flower Hospital campus. And all in all, there's about $1.2 million in jet payments being made to the city of Toledo because of water, because of what Mayor Finkbeiner started. You want our water, you're going to share your income tax. And those have to be undone as well.
So if you have an updated version of that, can you distribute that to us, or is that something?
The octopus?
Yeah.
I'm sure that Kevin can get
that.
I have it in a file back on the mayor's desk.
I'll check that declining block rate and get that information.
We can probably get that too.
Yeah, I have it in.
Toledo is being very open with this. I can tell you that I'm very pleased with that. Mayor Paul Hicks-Simpson has instructed her administration to engage wholeheartedly in these discussions, to put everything on the table. Don Moline has been coming to the meetings with Kevin and to meetings with me, and has brought a notebook that has all those things in it, and he keeps trotting, putting things out on the table that I've not thought about. Nobody shared with us before. Challenges for the city of Toledo that have to be addressed and will have to be approved by their city council to make any changes. And the real difficulty is from their perspective. City councilmen that are elected for 4 years are going to have to make decisions that don't come to fruition for 6 or 8 or 10 years. And it's going to increase their residents' water rates to avoid a doubling or tripling of them in 10 years. That is a real political challenge. And some of the votes for, I don't care what you do, the suburbs are going to pay for our poor people in the city of Toledo. I've had that said to my face. Well, okay, we vote for a few more years. Well, we have poor people out here too. Oh, I don't care about those people. They don't represent them. It's all coming out of the table.
Mr. Mayor, and that's exactly my, I mean, I'll just lay it out on the table. That's exactly my concern. I mean, my observation of the political will of the city of Toledo is, my judgment is that it's highly unlikely we will ever cut a deal with the city of Toledo. When I watch the decision making of that body, and I've been watching it for a long time, it's not a body that thinks 10, 12 years out. They're just not structured that way. I mean, this Southwick deal, this isn't a body that can think 9 months out.
We have leaders that are trying to formulate a strategy to move them along.
I understand that.
And I'm hopeful that it will do it. But on the other side, we need to keep our option alive, which is this independent regional system, the South County Water System. That is the answer for us. And if Toledo is unable to make the hard decisions that need to be made, we need to continue down this road. I've instructed Kevin within the next 30 to 60 days to begin discussions with the South County Water System, just preliminarily to see where we can go with what's been envisioned in this study. They are by contract not allowed to discuss any other water system than Toledo's. Can you imagine that? There's a stifling clause in their contract with Toledo. But we're going to breach that in about 60 days.
Well, it's not a breach for them to read our report.
It was a breach for them to participate in the cost of it.
Yeah, I understand that, but it's not,
we're going to do more than that. We're going to talk about timetable.
I agree. So I guess the issue that, and I applaud your effort, stunned if it comes to fruition.
I
mean, not just mildly stunned. I just don't think they're a viable partner, not because of the structure, but because of the politics. Now, maybe I'm being overly pessimistic.
Like you're being realistic. There's just no doubt about it.
And so I guess what
I'm going to continue making the case that the right solution for Toledo and all the suburbs is a regional, true regional bulk water authority.
And I think you've made that case, and I think that is obvious. And but that requires political courage that I just can't imagine coming from that policy.
And you know, Doug, not disagreeing with that at all, I think that what I appreciate about what the mayor is doing is taking a responsible approach to try to engage the city of Toledo in productive discussions, but by the same token being steadfast that you're not going to be diverted by the politics of it. If it doesn't look like it's moving forward, if we're not making progress, you certainly have a plan B, right?
At what point of our building a separate system will they buckle to the pressure and say, I guess it's not a bluff?
Mm-hmm.
The administration already has decided it's not a bluff. City councilmen have, some of them have.
Yeah, but I think that it's going to require us, meaning the suburbs, to make some substantive investment in a plan B for them to understand that we're serious, right? And you clearly understand all of those dynamics.
In 2002, when we spent over $100,000 for our easement to the lake.
Right.
That was step one.
Right, right.
And we're going to continue down that path with your help. And it'll be interesting to see what, you know, does the call come in the morning of our city council meeting to award contracts for a separate water system?
Yeah.
Does the call come in that morning and say, we didn't know you meant it, just back away. Well, now we put $5 million into it. It's too late now. What point is too late? I don't know.
That really is the, when you say that's the question that keeps you awake at night. Yeah, I mean, that's...
And I really appreciate...
That's the decision. I mean, we really have to get to a point. I think we ought to consider establishing for ourselves a cutoff date for when we will move full into the sub-regional system.
But the alternate three that's in the Sylvania Water Study allows us to do is even to award contracts for a separate water system to build the system. We could still build that system, and we just don't build a line all the way to Sylvania. We take a line down Dixie Highway, and we tie it into the Toledo system. That's part of the solution anyways. So we will out here build a water system, whether it's South County Water or a true Toledo Regional Bulk Water Authority. It's going to get built. And the state of Ohio and the state of Michigan are going to help us do it because they know that this area is subject to water interruptions that are not permissible. Toledo, or the Ohio EPA, wants a second water intake. So we're going to keep going down that line, and it's going to get built.
There will be. I mean, our contract doesn't end until 2028, but remember, our proposed partner in this is South County Water, whose contract expires in 2024.
There's more than twice as many customers as we have.
Twice as large as we are. So
we need
2018.
I mean, a year from now, we're either going forward or South County isn't going to be in a position to have a system.
In order to roll up South County into this, into a system, we need, using your 6 years, we need to start by 2018, right?
Because that's too late.
Well, okay.
As a practical matter, that is too late.
Okay.
Right? If you want to start today.
It's kind of, I mean, you think about all of the design, all of the, you know, unfortunately, MDEQ's office is kind of in a pretty big mess at the moment, you know, so new intakes, depending on the size of that plant, you know, are you dealing with just the, just Michigan and Ohio, or are you dealing with the consortium that takes in the Canada?
It sounds like you are starting today, you know, in fact, that you have to start with a political discussion with South.
Yeah.
Yep, so that's happening.
Mark and Doug, there's actually a greater pressure coming at us from Wood County and Bowling Green. They want a decision, they want a decision by the end of the year.
Yeah, I think that's a good time for them.
That's, could you?
Not by us, no, they're gonna make a decision.
What is, what are your?
I think that's.
Wood County has three proposals to build a new water plant or increase Bowling Green's water plant. Perrysburg's gonna tie onto it, and they're gonna cut off from Toledo. Mayor Olmsted is just bound and determined, he's gonna decide by the end of the year.
And they're taking their water out of the river, right?
They're taking it out.
And that has nothing.
Being part of the river.
That has nothing to do with us, they would never, I just heard you say earlier, they would not be able to connect up with us.
No, but they are a part of a true regional water supply system.
Yeah.
Because they can open a valve to us or Toledo or somehow supplement it when one plant goes down. They are part of the answer. But how big they build and where they build it is being pushed very aggressively. And Waterville's already signed a contract to tie onto the Bowling Green water system.
Well, Perrysburg would be a very big deal.
Right, and Maumee is talking about building a pipe under the Maumee River now to tie onto Perrysburg. We'll get water.
Where's Perrysburg?
They're kind of partial, they go both ways.
Actually, the city of Perrysburg gets all of the water from Toledo. Part of Perrysburg Township gets it from the Water and Sewer District from Wood County, which comes from Bowling Green.
Right.
Well, that seems to me to be a, we ought to piggyback on that timeframe and get this, we're not gonna have more information. The issue is whether people are going to be prepared to get this focused and get this done. I wouldn't think we would want to postpone moving forward full speed beyond the first part of next year.
I do think that first step of the conversation with South County, and we have no idea where they are on this, so I think.
Yeah, I certainly agree that 2017 will be a critical year for Sylvania in terms of deciding the direction it's going to go.
Yeah, we've, you know, our study takes a look at the financial impact and the impact of the city of Sylvania, and that's based on, you know, us being 38% of that new plan, new system. We have provided the report to South County, but they haven't really had enough time to digest it and to see how that would impact their system and all that.
So just a point of clarification again, you know, we talked about that a little bit earlier today, and it sounded to me, if I understood correctly, that there are some housing units that right now aren't getting water to that system that might fold into the system, and that could impact the rates in a positive way if that all came together. Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, on the face of it, it appears that you could, there is room for expansion in parts of the South County water system. But
another part, it won't be a huge impact, but he mentioned Whiteford Township. You know, they've been looking at their own water system. We've had initial discussion with them that, hey, you know, don't be too quick to move here. We have this potential, and it might be much better for you and that kind of stuff. So, you know, we'd be picking up the Ottawa Lake area and everything. So. There's, you know, additional customer base that.
Right. And give back to the question you asked early on.
Yeah.
Sylvania Township trustees and Township administrator have all asked me, how can they be a part of the new system? Mm-hmm. We can upsize the system if they can politically find a way out of the Lucas County water system, but they don't make that decision. That's made by the county commissioners.
Right.
And it will be expensive, but. If we're going to build our own system, I think they want to be a part of it. But I don't know how
I assume Lucas County constructed the distribution system, right? And there's a...
That's one issue. Who owns the pipes?
Right.
And is it owned by the township? Is it owned by the county? Certainly not owned by the city of Toledo. But they are not a water supply entity. Lucas County is, Toledo is, Sylvania is. Lucas Township trustees can vote till the cows come home. It doesn't make any difference.
Right. Got it.
What, I just have one thought. That's all I can handle this morning. If South County says no, does that basically shut this discussion down?
I think it would, because our standalone system is not economically viable.
Well, the economic viability doesn't.
They will pay a lot more to get away from Toledo. They're very frustrated.
Okay, good. Okay.
They have a lot to gain in us running some large transmission mains through their system. I mean, it would help them greatly. So there's not many reasons they wouldn't want to, from what I know.
Do they have to put it to a vote, a public vote, or, okay.
Okay, who actually is the South County Water System? Who consists of that governance board there?
Michigan is a little different. They actually elect a drainage commissioner, and he's kind of like a county engineer in Ohio. He runs and operates if there is a water system, he runs.
So that would be a Monroe County elected.
Correct. Yeah.
So, but one individual.
Yes, he does. Leslie, you might have to help me. I think there is a board, but much like the county commissioners.
Correct. There's a board of county commissioners, Monroe County Board of County Commissioners, that he answers to, but he has a lot of authority.
A lot like the county engineer.
Correct.
Yeah. So he's separately elected?
Yes.
Yes. Monroe County Drain?
Drain Commissioner.
Drain Commissioner?
Mm-hmm.
I want to emphasize that right now there's a very cooperative atmosphere in studying these options going on. TMACOG is the right home for it because it represents all of us, including Monroe County. And it is not being done with threats across the table. It's being made with needs across the table. It's the right negotiating and study atmosphere. And I'm not sure when the right time to become adversarial is, but I always, when I'm at the table, say we're going to continue going down our separate path, not as a threat, but as a just a reminder that we don't have to wait for you.
Yeah,
we don't
you know,
have to be subservient.
No, I don't hear an adversarial tone coming from you at all, which is good. But I do hear business is business, right? And I think that is the right approach.
But we also heard that the need for this additional plant exists either way, and mm-hmm. to start it.
Sure.
If there's some pushback, there could be another opportunity for negotiation.
Sure. Well, I appreciate the background.
I didn't mean to divert us, but it sounds like it was helpful. And
I think it's really important for you to all understand where we're at, because you will have contacts that I won't make. And when you're discussing with a Toledo City Councilman or a Township Trustee or a County Commissioner or whoever, you should have the facts. You should know what the goals are. I'm open and available to answer your questions as they come up. Great day.
I just wanted to mention one thing, though. When you mentioned after things kind of get rolling and they see it's real, there might be an opportunity to renegotiate. Once that ball gets rolling, it'd be hard to kind of stop it. You almost need to know this is the basis of what we're designing.
Because the sizes are different.
Yeah, the sizes are drastically different between the infrastructure you need for an 18 MGD system and a 60. So.
Well, we won't be doing the 18.
Yeah.
And the 40 MGD system, I'm not sure what it was for our independent system, but Toledo is now back down and wants to transfer the 40 MGD from Collins Park to this plant. So we're going to be in that ballpark.
Gotcha.
Either for an independent regional system or kind of a major regional system. That happened in the last week and is in our favor.
What's the city's time frame for making the decision about the increased volume at Collins Park?
I've got a couple of mixed signals on that one.
Mayor?
Yeah.
If I might, that they don't really have a definite timetable because that's part of it's actually part of their conversations with Ohio EPA, because EPA has established a timeline as to when that needs to be in place. They have approached Ohio EPA and said, hey, we have this potential second feed that we're looking at that would be able to provide that 40 MGD, but obviously it's going to take more time than what's in the current schedule. Will you allow us to adjust that? So that's, it's not a line in the sand.
So we want Craig to say no. What is that time deadline?
I don't know offhand. No, I don't.
I don't know either, but it's in the talking papers that your group has produced.
Yes.
And they say they have to build 20 million gallons per day of not filtering, but settling or something, whether yes. they build it or not.
Yeah, they don't need the additional filtration, so they're able to back off on that, but they need some other components at the plant.
We are very fortunate to have Warren Henry on this committee, this subcommittee. Warren worked for Finkbeiner, Pedersen, Straub, actually designed the high-pressure pumping station down there for the improvements to it. Then he worked at TMACOG for a while. Now he's working for the city of Toledo. But one of the reasons he went to work for Toledo was because he believes in a regional system, too. And he is trying to find and share the vision to make that happen. And he just knows everything about that plant down there. No doubt about it. And slowly I'm absorbing it.
Mayor, I have two quick questions. The first was when we clarified the concept of a regional bulk water authority, mm-hmm. Just for our reference, when we talk about a Sylvania alone, then that would be bulk and distribution, obviously, because it's just the one system.
That one's right. That one's really simple. Right. We close the valve to Toledo and open a valve to our own water treatment.
Right. When we talk about independent regional, that's still bulk.
It is.
Bulk.
That's the way I envision
right.
it.
Right. And the distribution is still separate for each entity that right. needed the distribution.
That's easy for us. We have our own service district. I don't know how that works. For South County, is that their own distribution system? Do they send out their own bills? Toledo yep. doesn't send them from, so it's yep. the same for them.
So you would have to have some kind of a meter at that DMARC, right?
Absolutely.
So that you can tell where. Okay.
There'd be master meters, just like we have now.
Yep. And then the second one, and I don't know if there's a diagram in here that I'm not, or maybe I'm not seeing it, but is there a logical representation of what's shown in Figure 1, which is more of a physical representation, where you could have the lake and then the Collins Park, which pumps into Sylvania, into the split off into, so kind of show a tree distribution of the flow, where this is all of a physical diagram, but you can't see where things flow.
You're saying like a schematic almost of the flow diagram?
Yeah, something, the term I use is more logical instead of physical.
Which
is there a diagram in there already?
I did not make a kind of a
and I can kind of sketch out what I'm talking about afterwards, and I can show you. And that might make more sense to see the whole area and how things are connected. And maybe we could show some of like the planned connections in there too that are being talked about.
Like I wasn't privy to any information about how the Toledo system operates and runs. Anything I gathered was from figures from previous reports that TMACOG had done. So
okay.
I wouldn't be able to get very in-depth of how the water is distributed amongst the entire region right now. I know a lot about your guys' system. I know a fair amount about South County water, but beyond that, I wasn't.
But you could probably produce that from what you know, right, Kevin?
We'd be able to system, yeah.
We'd
be able to connection points and things like that, so be able to kind of put that together.
Okay, and I can show you
And what you're thinking about is explain why the system is designed the way.
Well, I mean, I think some of it is just to understand, right? So when we're talking about the Northwest service area being downstream from where it comes out of what's pumped into Sylvania, but Sylvania's kind of its own thing. You've got some other connections. What was it? And where Monroe's getting from, right? Because that's coming from Toledo and then going up that way. Just a logical tree would be helpful.
Yep.
And then we can kind of understand what's how it's laid out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think
it'll help. Okay.
It'll also make you nervous to see
Well, that might help, that might help make you nervous, yeah. Yeah. Well, but I think that what it does is it shows you that single point of failure, right?
And there's a pretty long line of single point failures that can shut down half a million people right now.
If you go to figure two, you can kind of, it's just the next page, it might help a little bit. I have, the water comes into South County Water at the two blue dots there, the Dixie Highway Booster Pump Station and Lewis Avenue.
Yep.
Those are both ground storage tanks with booster stations next to them. So that's, those are redundant feeds coming up into South County. And you can see just by the path of the water mains how they get there. And then where your guys' feed is at is there at the ground storage booster pump station. So it's not schematic, but you can kind of get a feel for where things are at and how they get in.
Okay.
We'd be able to take, we'd be able to use the figure one and then just to show some arrows as to where those connection points are. So, because they wouldn't have had the information. I, just from my past employment, I know where Lucas County's connections are to Toledo, and I know where Wood County's are. And
right.
So
this sort of a diagram makes me nervous also. And you see, South County's got two entry points into their system. This only shows one into Sylvania. It does not show the emergency cross connections along Sylvania Avenue that we made sure got put in there like 15 or 20 years ago, right in front of a little shopping strip right there is one of them, and there's one farther out.
Yeah, again, right near that stump.
So with our big main coming up on Sylvania Road where the spring will leak, we don't all go dry until they fix it.
Yeah. Okay. We would be very limited, very limited.
At least we'd have some water.
We'd have water.
And I didn't turn every, like it would become just unreadable if you turn every single water main on in here, so that may be why some of the stuff's not showing up. We had to kind of find the middle ground.
No, I understand.
So was this GIS data that you had, you just turned those layers on?
Yeah, I obtained GIS information from you guys, and then I updated, they gave me a list of all the things that had been done, and we made sure it was up to date, and then I was able to get GIS information from South County. And then combine those two systems together and ran hydraulic models to come up with the routing and sizing of transmission mains.
Okay.
What would the system look like if it was combined?
So I have a 10 o'clock commitment, so I'm going to need to think about that. But I think we do probably want to have some sense of next steps. I don't know whether we convene again in a couple months, if we just observe and wait for some input from the administration about updates on what's going on. But there.
We did, if I may, you know, you obviously said your committee meeting is every field, but I will be coming back to, you know, one of the things I wanted to mention just very quickly here was in that study report, you know, it mentions that we need to, just to continue as we are now, we need to be looking at, you know, 10% rate increases over the next 2 years in order to take into account Toledo's increases in our operating expenses. So that's something that's part of the budgeting process that I want to be, well, obviously we'd be coming back to the committee for anyway. So, you know, when we meet for that, perhaps we could give you an update on what's progressed at that
point. And that would be when?
Probably would be in the end of September, 1st of October.
Perfect.
Range?
Yep.
Yep.
Perfect contact. And it would be nice if you could get some preliminary read from
Time. Yeah, we will, we released the report July 15th, and at that time we provided them a copy, and I anticipate, you know, they'll have 30 to 60 days to digest it and try to determine how it would impact their system to be the other 62%, so that would be our plan.
Okay. If there's no other questions, then is there a motion?
So moved.
To adjourn. The motion to adjourn was moved and.
Seconded.
Yeah, well, there's nobody else here from the committee.
Oh, I seconded. Sandy.
Oh, Sandy. Yeah, that's right. Okay. So there's a motion to adjourn. The motion moved and passed. It's 9:43, and this meeting is adjourned.
Thanks.